pray. Oh God, by the humiliation of your Son, you lifted up this fallen world, rescuing us from the hopelessness of death. Grant that your faithful people a share in the joys that are eternal. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the people. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 116 responsively. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your family. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter, the first chapter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially, according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know these things that have taken place there these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Did you ever feel like that? Disappointed? Dejected? Doubtful? Dispirited? I don't think anybody gets through life without sometimes like that. We can lose a friend, or a job, or a marriage, or our health, or a pet, or even a few hours sleep, and we find ourselves sinking into a period of anxiety or fear, depression. We think that things won't ever be right again, especially in the night when it's dark and quiet and those fears and dark thoughts loom above us. Hope isn't even a word that we dare whisper. And grace, that's just one of those church words that we don't find anywhere in reality. With this cloud of discouragement that hangs over us, it doesn't even seem possible to pray. Just when we need God the most, we set out on a road to go in the opposite direction. We head for Emmaus rather than for Jerusalem. But we had hope. We know what that feels like. We never planned that this present situation would be our reality. Sickness or age has forced a new living situation. Change in income means limited choices. Whatever has happened, well, it's just not what we had hoped. Well, this is the situation that these two disciples find themselves in as we read our gospel today. They were followers of Jesus. They had been with him for years, and their hearts were filled with this new promise of this new life that Jesus had spoken to them about. They had spent this time in the company of Jesus. They listened to his teaching. They had seen his love and his care, compassion for the poor, for the sick, for the outcast, for those who were most in need. They were filled with dreams and hopes. And then those hopes were dashed with Jesus' death. Now, that hope-filled time with Jesus was hardly a glimmer. And although it had only been a few days since Jesus' death, that memory was already fading. They buried him, and with him every bit of hope. There was nothing left to do but turn around and walk away. So there we find them, Cleopas and his friend, talking together, walking together. Can't you just hear them? Going over the story over and over again, telling it over and over again, going over that same old ground, hoping that maybe this time when they tell the story, it'll have a different ending. And suddenly a stranger is walking with them. It's Jesus, but their eyes are so red and bleary from tears and from lack of sleep, from all that crying, that they can't see him clearly. They don't recognize Jesus. They're so filled with doubt and disillusionment, discouragement and despair, that they aren't even aware that this stranger is their friend. They can't believe that this stranger doesn't know the things that had happened in Jerusalem these past days. Well, their whole life had been turned upside down and wrung out, and this guy doesn't even have a clue. How could that be? How could this man not even know what had gone on when their whole lives were so altered, so changed? Where had it been? So they rehash the story. They tell it all over again, even getting to the part about the empty tomb, to the part about the women who had gone and seen that empty tomb and come back with this wild tale of angels and resurrection. Their own disappointment, they tell the stranger, but we had hope. When they got to the end of the story, or what they thought was the end of the story, it was the stranger's turn to talk. Weren't you listening, he says to them? Weren't you listening to him in those years that you spent? Didn't he tell you that this is the way it must be? That the prophet, the Messiah, must suffer and die before he comes into his glory? Didn't you listen? The travelers are entranced by his words. He recites the scriptures for them. going all the way back to Moses and the prophets, showing how all of the scripture keeps pointing to Jesus, to the Messiah. They want to hear more, but they're already at Emmaus, the place that they were going. They don't want to let him go. So they invite him in. Stay with us. Come and have dinner with us. It's dark, getting dark. Spend the night. Stay here. And he agrees. And then a strange thing happens. This guest sits down at the table and becomes the host. He takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them. And in that simple, meaningful act, something that they had seen him do time after time, their eyes were opened and they knew with certainty. Not only did they know that this was Jesus, their friend, but they also knew that all that he had said to them was true. Just like Mary at the tomb, when Jesus says her name, she hears that one word and recognizes him. The tone of his voice, the tenor of his the pitch, is so familiar, so loving. His voice reminded her of who it was. And so it was with Cleopas and his friend. Their doubt and disillusionment, their despair and their discouragement are forgotten. They are so filled now with hope and faith, they forgot what was weighing them down, what had them plodding down that road to Emmaus. Now they turned around and ran back to Jerusalem to share that good news with their friends. What good news this story holds for us. You know, all of Luke's gospel is oriented toward Jerusalem. From the very beginning of the gospel, everything is pointing to Jerusalem. Jesus is always on the way. The disciples are always on the way. Everything is pointing toward Jerusalem. And here in this story, the two travelers are going to Emmaus, the opposite direction. Now, this is good news for me. We don't know how long Jesus walked with those two men on the road to Emmaus. Those two disciples who were going the wrong way. Jesus just came and walked with them, going the wrong way. He doesn't try to turn them around. He doesn't tell them, you're going the wrong way. He walks with them. And finally, when the light comes on and they realize that they're going in the wrong way, turn around and go back themselves, they run all the way back to Jerusalem. But Jesus just walks with them. He listens to them. He teaches them. He feeds them. But he walks with them even when they're going the wrong way. One of the most wonderful things to come out of this resurrection story is this truth about Jesus. No matter how bad things are for us, no matter how bad things have become, even if we lose our faith, even if we're going the wrong way, Jesus comes and is with us. Even if we've given up hope, Jesus walks with us. He won't ask for explanations, doesn't ask us to justify our position, show him why we're doing what we're doing. There's no accusing, no blame. Jesus just walks with us when we're walking our Emmaus road. Jesus will come. No matter what route you take, when you can't take it anymore, that's where Jesus meets us. Even though we're the ones that are going in the wrong direction, even though we're the ones that are going off the other direction, Jesus is always faithful. He comes to us and finds us on our road, on our Emmaus road, on our wrong direction road, and just walks with us. There's a contemporary preacher named Barbara Taylor Brown, and she writes this about this Emmaus story. Jesus comes to the disappointed and the doubtful. He comes to those who don't know their Bible, who don't recognize him when he is walking right there beside them. He comes to those who have given up and are headed back home, which makes this whole story about the blessedness of being broken. About the blessedness of being broken. This is a wonderful Easter story, but it shouldn't surprise us. Jesus' whole ministry is about caring for those who need him the most. The poor, the sick, the outcast. Wherever Jesus found folks like that, he shared with them whatever he had. His love, his compassion, his food, his caring, his healing, and in the end, his own broken body. This is good news. Jesus comes to us not only when we're being faithful and good and true, but Jesus comes to us also when we have wandered away in the wrong direction. Jesus also comes to us when we have given up hope, when we feel like throwing in the towel. Jesus made himself known to those two disciples along the road to Emmaus in the word and in the meal. And in the same way, he comes and walks with us in our times of despair and discouragement and doubt, and makes himself known to us as well in the word and in the meal. But Jesus waits for us to recognize him. He waits for us to know him in the scripture, in the sharing with a friend, in our own realization that it is our holy heartburn where Jesus is revealed to us. Jesus waits for us to recognize him. He waits for us to know him in the breaking of the bread, in the sharing of this sacred meal, where we take that bit of bread, that drop of wine, and our bleary vision is cleared up in an instant as we recognize Jesus Christ. This is the gift of a man for you and for me. Wherever you are on your road, even if you're going in the wrong direction, the risen Lord Jesus comes to you, opens your eyes, and invites you to turn around and run back and tell the good news to others. My prayer for you is that your heart will burn, that you will have holy heartburn, a burning for knowing Jesus, a heart that wants to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that your bleary vision would be cleared up in knowing Jesus in the bread and in the wine. May your holy heartburn and bleary vision be cleared, and may it lead you closer and closer to Jesus. Thank you.